The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted to have you here on Find Your Phone Friday, 770-5633, if you wanted to join in. Got some open phones here for the first part, maybe a little bit later this hour. A little guest-heavy, a little guest-heavier than normal for Friday, but let me tell you who we got coming up. Wanted to catch up on the mental illness in Salem. And talking with State Senator Noah Robinson. Yeah, that seems to be the way it is. You know, you look at the news coming out of the state legislature session, and it does seem to be an indicator for a lot of mental illness and a lot of people with mental illness being elected and finding themselves in the situation. But yeah, we'll talk more about that. I wish the news were better. It's just I just got to tell you the truth about what's going on. And yeah, we got a lot of mentally ill and crazed lunatics that are in charge of the system. But, you know, at least we can kind of laugh like crazy lunatics ourselves, I guess. Yikes. Greg Roberts will join me from RogueWeather.com. We'll have the outdoor report getting into the weekend. Looks like we're finally going to be getting into some spring-like weather, really, like into the 70s as of early next week. Congressman Cliff Bentz is dropping by. He's going to be speaking at the Lincoln Day Dinner in Jackson County at the Rogue Valley Country Club tomorrow. And he'll be here around 7:30. We'll talk about some of the issues of local and national concern. And there's plenty going on. And I was just thinking about some of these executive orders that President Trump has been doing, get his thought on that. And if there's a way maybe that Congress could actually help out President Trump. We'll talk more about that here a little bit. Matt Stevenson also checking in here. He's the president and CEO of Rogue Credit Union. It appears that Rogue Credit Union, a lot of customers, of course, down here in Southern Oregon, is expanding and merging with a Northern California credit union. They're getting larger, just expanding their base. And so we'll talk with Matt about that. And just ask the basic questions. I'm kind of curious if this is a partnership of strength. You know, the only reason I bring this up is that sometimes there have been situations in which now this is credit union, not banks. Credit unions have a different regulatory agency. I'm not exactly sure what I haven't looked that deeply into it, but kind of like an FDIC sort of thing, still from the federal government. And if you have one credit union or if you have let's just take a look at it. You have a bank which is failing. A lot of times the federal government will end up coming out and saying, okay, this bank is going down in flames. You overextended or whatever it is, or you bet wrong on government bonds like that Silicon Valley Bank one did a couple of years ago. Remember that deal? And then the federal government then says, okay, FDIC, let's go in there. Let's get it. Okay, J.P. Morgan Chase, you'd like to take this over. Or First Interstate, you'd like to take this over. This sort of thing. Let's make this a nice little Citibank. You'd like to, you know, take over this bank. Sometimes they're arranged marriages. Maybe this one's just a voluntary thing in which everyone's looking at it and say, hey, get big or go home. And so we'll have a conversation with Matt Stevenson about that. Haven't had a chance to talk with the folks at Rogue Credit Union for quite some time. So anyway, they'll be in studio. We'll kick that all around. Now then, back to the mental illness. Here's a classic example of mental illness on display. Hundreds support pausing Oregon's investment in private fossil fuel holdings, but the Treasury is opposed. Okay, yeah, this is from the Oregon Capital Chronicle, all right? And Alex Baumhart writes this. Nearly 300 people submitted testimony in support of the PAWS Act to stop new Treasury investments in private fossil fuel funds. And so there was a bill to do this. Hundreds of letters in support this week, one powerful letter of opposition. It's SB 681, the PAWS Act, would put a five-year moratorium on new private equity investment. Now, of course, the one person who is now the chief sponsor. Now, guess what? Who would the first chief sponsor of the bill be? Might you guess Senator Jeff Golden? Yes! Yes, you're right. But anyway, the idea, according to the bill's chief sponsor, Senator Jeff Golden of Ashland, is to ensure the Treasury actualizes its own plan to get the PERS portfolio to net zero greenhouse gases by 2050. Yes, this is this ridiculous climate change scheme, the scam, that Jeff Golden, of course, is a true religious believer on, along with most of the other Democrats and maybe a Republican or two. I don't know. See, here's the challenge. This is why the Treasury said, no, we don't want to do this, is that PERS is required to maximize the return to its retirees, to the people who are expecting a retirement fund. And when you tell them, hey, invest in windmills, and then the windmills catch on fire or blow up, or the Teslas catch on fire. Of course, they've been catching on fire intentionally from the other brain-damaged people in our culture right now, but that's another story. The point is that PERS is supposed to be run to make money, and lots of it. And it doesn't always make money. And sometimes it loses money. And then who has to make up the money? That's right, you and me. I can hear you talking. You and I have, people like you and me have to pay higher taxes so that Mike Bellotti can get, what does he get, $540,000 a year, something like that, in his PERS benefit for having been a football coach. Isn't that great? Boy, I wish we should all be Mike Bellotti. It would be great if we could do that. I don't know if it's 540. I once looked it up. It was an insane amount of money. Oh, but he was a state public employee on PERS. Yeah, PERS has always been underfunded. It's underfunded right now. And the treasurer is saying, wait a minute, we don't really want to just go net zero because net zero could make it harder for us to pay off employees. So in other words, for once, the treasurer in the state of Oregon is mentally ill, but Jeff Golden is still kind of pushing a mentally ill plan. I don't know if Jeff Golden is mentally ill or just a true believer in his religion, but Senator Golden, I don't know what to say about stuff like this. But that's why they're saying, no, we don't want to do this net zero thing. We can't make money. In fact, a lot of the green stuff is going down and going down hard. So I thought that was a pretty interesting question. Some other things for tonight, for last night, rather. We had a roof collapse over at Crater Car Wash in Medford. It happened just before 8 o'clock last night. KDRV reporting that partial roof collapse and everything crunching in. They're thinking that it's because of the really heavy rain, which has been coming here lately. It's not enough to have the heavy snow, right, with North Medford High School. Speaking of North Medford High School, there were some stories out about that. Everyone reporting, oh, I know that KOBI says complaints against Medford School Board District Board Chair Wright found to be unsubstantiated. That's not quite true. It's not quite true because it contradicts itself even in the story a little bit later. But the board members discussed two new complaints against Board Chair Wright, as well as complaints by embattled board member Michael Williams. The Darth Vader, Williams Man Bad of the Medford School District. By the way, I'm saying that in jest here, Michael, okay? Just have a little fun at your expense. I know you're not having any fun. No one is right there on Medford School District 549C. But Michael Williams filed complaints against Wright and Superintendent Brett Champion last month. Most of the complaints, according to KOBI, were dismissed. One complaint about Wright's conduct was substantiated. So you can't really sell the story by saying complaints about MSD Board Chair Wright found to be unsubstantiated. One of them was found legit. The board found that Wright violated board member standards of conduct for failing to treat Michael Williams, Darth Vader, with respect in public messaging. But at Thursday's school board meeting, the board voted to take no action against Wright. So in other words, they gave her a pass on this. And there's been a lot of drama and a lot of anger. There was another complaint coming from the Medford Education Association grievance chair. Oh, my gosh. I'm thinking about all these people getting paid by tax dollars over time. Yeah, I know it's Medford. Yeah, it's just the union, but still. Oh, my gosh. How many people, how many parasites must be on this system? We need a doge in Oregon, too. But anyway, that was found to be unsubstantiated. So that will be just fine. And then, let's see. We have that one. There's, the Grants Pass homeless situation. Oh, yeah. Tuesday, Josephine County judge is going to hear a preliminary injunction case by Disability Rights Oregon against the city of Grants Pass. Now, if this is passed, this according to also KOBI, Grants Pass could not cite, arrest, detain, issue fines, or otherwise prosecute any person for camping anywhere in the city except for two parks until the end of the litigation, which could take years. Disability Rights Oregon's Deputy Legal Director Thomas Stenson says the space grants pass is given unhoused people is insufficient. Stenson says grants pass law and state building code requires a certain amount of space between the tents. Okay. I don't think that the hissy fit homeless enablers out there and the rackets, of course, the NGOs that are funded by taxpayer dollars coming from Oregon Health Authority and various other also state-run rackets. I don't think that the homeless hissy fitters are going to be happy until Grants Pass is turned into a version of Dr. Zhivago. If anybody remembers that movie way back, it's an old movie, old book, of course, about the Soviet Union. And there was the famous scene in which, Dr. Zhivago comes back to his home, and his home has been taken over by essentially a bunch of government parasites that were in here. Why, you have more homes than you need. Could you see Disability Rights Oregon? I know this may sound a little bit weird, but could you see an Oregon in which a racket or a group like Disability Rights Oregon will then be able to say, you know something, you people in Grants Pass have too many homes for yourself. You have too much space for yourself. We wish to assign you your homeless bum, your own very much homeless person, unhoused person, and you have space in here. You have a spare office or a spare bedroom for guests or something like that. Here it is, going to be a guest. Could you see Oregon going that way? I could. Just like, if PERS goes bust, if they continue to go down this net zero sort of thing that they're talking about, that Senator Jeff Golden wishes, maybe PERS doesn't make enough money. And maybe we'll just get to the point where all the people in the private sector who actually work to pay the taxes to pay the public employees and then have to pay for the public employees' retirement system, too. Maybe then each of us in the private sector would be assigned our own PERS employee to feed for and care for. If PERS were to ever go bust, you see, that's, you laugh about that kind of stuff, but it's sort of the way they look at us. It doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter what the rules are. We going to get paid. We're going to get paid, whether it's the public employees, whether it's the teachers union, whether it's the schools, whether it's like everybody's going to get paid and you're going to take it good and hard. Unless you do something about that, I guess. But, maybe they couldn't afford to pay Mike Bellotti back to Mike Bellotti and his $450,000 to $500,000 a year pension payment out of PERS for being a football coach. Right? Maybe if we couldn't, maybe you couldn't afford to take Mike Bellotti into your house and feed and clothe him. You know, your responsibility if you were assigned Mike Bellotti, but maybe we'd all have to take turns and go and manicure his lawn and do his laundry. And, do that. We'd all have to take turns at being caretakers, and then we'll all be indentured servants. Like I said, the report this morning, I go through the headlines, and then my mind kind of runs wild to the mental illness that is Medford and is Southern Oregon and Grants Pass and Ashland, everything else, and what is the state of Oregon and the state legislature. It kind of runs wild as to what could be the eventual goal for this crazy train. And on that note, if you want to talk about something else, that's great, too. 770-5633. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I'll show you something other...
Poor Americans.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service, and I'm on KMED.
Golden years. It's the golden years. Before I go back to the phone lights here, another mentally ill story this morning. It's in the Rogue Valley Times, because remember, I'm just talking about the mental illness on display and the incoherence of which people tend to approach many government things. Ashland residents join in union protest for postal stability. Hands off our postal service! Ashland postal workers and supporters join Thursday in a day of action. Okay. Coordinated by the U.S. Postal Service Workers Union, gathering at the Ashland Post Office to wave signs and hand out information, Jeremy Schilling had to raise his voice to speak over the supportive honking of passing cars as he referred to the dozens or so people holding signs outside the Ashland Post Office Thursday as absolute grassroots. Schilling sent a text to his friend, this according to the Rogue Valley Times, by the way, letting her know that he and a friend would be handing out flyers protesting Department of Government Efficiency changes to the Postal Service, potentially including privatization. All right. Now, I understand the union people. And by the way, I know, I see the mail people come in every day. I say hi to them. I think they're good people. I think everyone's good. I'm not saying anything bad about this, but the supporters in Ashland, the people that are saying, hands off our Postal Service, it loses money hand over fist. First class mail plummeting. They did that bad deal with Amazon, doing all that delivering for Amazon, helping Bezos get richer, I guess. But you know, everything about the Postal Service, as much as I love it, as much as I enjoy seeing the little Cushman mail truck now being replaced by more expensive trucks, as much as I love seeing them show up, it's losing money hand over fist. And it has been losing money hand over fist for decades. It's already a semi-private agency. It already is. It's not a pure government agency, but it gets a lot of money from the federal government because it needs to be, backfilled. And, of course, people in rural areas, they're concerned, well, we're not going to get daily mail service. When was the last time you mailed something, I guess, is one thing I would ask. Of course, if you are a periodical, magazine, newspaper, I get, yeah, you would be concerned about this, but something has to be done. And if people aren't mailing stuff as much and the labor costs are going up and people aren't using the service like they used to, what would you do? In fact, I would suggest that all the people that are saying hands off our Postal Service, the ones in Ashland and elsewhere, okay, I'll tell you what, you can buy out the Southern Oregon Postal System, privatize it yourself, and you run it, and you try to find out how you're going to pay for all those pensions and for all the legacy costs that are there. It's like everybody says hands off our Postal Service, but they can't add and subtract. They can't add and subtract it. Look at a budget. They're probably the same people that are thinking, oh, it's okay to borrow $1 for every $2 that we spend in the federal government. It's okay. Yeah, we can keep going. Like I said, I look at the headlines and I just look at, here's a mentally ill story. Here's another mentally ill group. And I know they're not certifiably mentally ill, but I think you get what I'm saying. Hello, Tom. How are you doing? I knew you'd bite if I start talking mental illness. But
yeah, Bill, you definitely nailed me there on that one. I've been saying as much for the longest time. In fact, I even wrote a few emails yesterday talking about the mental illness up there in Salem.
Oh, you did?
So you got me.
Okay. All right.
But here's my take. People like Pam Marsh and Jeff Golden and everything, and all the whole liberal take on so much, everything you see that's wrong in our society, I don't care whether it's homeless, the debt problem, everything, everything is based upon lies. It's dis on information. And people like Jeff Golden and his whole cadre of mental health.
And you think about Jeff Golden there using this mentally ill process of net zero that could destroy PERS and kill the pensions that we're already going to have trouble paying off of past state employees. How can you even go there?
You don't have to worry about that. Your water bill's going to go up. Take care of PERS.
Well, it could be. Yeah, they'll just put a service fee on everything, right?
Yeah. Mm. So, but you look at the global warming scam and so forth. The Alan Jurnee out there in Jacksonville and so forth. They don't understand that they're being basically communist dupes. They're being useful idiots. They're working for the New World Order.
And that anything that you're talking about that is going to replace fossil fuels or something like that, or whatever it is you're coming up and you're against at this point, none of the alternatives are able to replace these fuels right now, and probably not for a long, long time. Now, there is a concern that, yeah, maybe we are running out of that. And let me tell you, whatever little progress you think is coming out of society right now, that goes in reverse real quick with the energy issue,
Here's another take on another issue. I heard you and Herman talking about the $37 trillion debt we're in.
Yeah.
And I have a different take on it. You were kind of going back and forth. Well, who do we owe the debt to? I'll put it this way. $37 trillion of debt was stolen from every American out there who pays any taxes whatsoever. It was stolen from us. So that $37 trillion was money that was taken out of the general economy, shifted over to the government for all its Ponzi schemes.
I would be interested to find out, you know how, now I'm not a huge fan of Elon Musk because I know that he's still working the grift too, even though he's, you know, helping with Doge and things like that. I you know, like I said, we just have to be fact-based.
Well, he's an insider. He knows how the scam works.
Exactly.
So he knows how he got rich, and he knows how everyone else out there is getting rich off the government.
But when he was talking about, this is, to me, is the biggest story, when he was talking about computers within the Treasury Department that didn't seem to be committed to any budget or connected with any kind of budgeting process whatsoever, that were just spitting out money, billions upon billions of dollars in payments. And you notice how that story kind of got, you know, shushed away under the rug?
Well, that's what I mean. Everything's based on lies, Bill.
Yeah. So
all our problems.
Lies combined with mental illness, that's a deadly combo, let me tell you, in this state.
No, the mental illness is due to the lying and the people who are incapable of telling the truth from the lie. They're emotionalized. I don't think
So it corrodes their soul then, right? And then their mind follows.
Mental processes, because their basis for thinking and reasoning is all based upon lies. And so we got to go a little bit deeper into where all these lies are coming from, and eventually, you know, it comes down to self-interest and money and just
And also the delusion that you can get something for nothing still.
That's the whole basis of all the craziness, the wars, you name it. People out there using government to get something for nothing.
Yep. All right. Appreciate the call there. Thank you very much for you know, biting on mental illness. It's such a great conversation here. You know, they're always talking about we don't have any enough mental illness beds. Looking at the headlines, there's no way we could have enough mental illness beds. You know, about one-third to one-fourth of the population or more, you know. Thanks, Tom. It's 6:34. All right. And, well, some more reporting on the mental illness. And then State Senator Noma Robinson will be reporting from the Marble Nut House, where a lot of the mentally ill policies end up coming to be. And because they're making laws. We'll tell you more coming up.
The soil around your home is a lot like a sponge.
Southern Oregon's place to talk.
You know, I was talking about the mental illness infecting the system right now. That is infectedKMED.com. It's been down for, 3 days now because of a certificate problem. And I think we have inmates in the IT department of my company. They say they're still working on it. We're still working on it. It's like, okay. But anyway, that makes it difficult. Hopefully you can get the station if you're trying to stream it on TuneIn. You can't stream it out of the site right now, but they are working on it. Hopefully Monday I'll be able to say, yeah, I actually have a website back. I don't know. Just like I said, the world's kind of crazy. And in one of the craziest sectors of the world, there is a rare green shoot of reason and logic and good thought process, and that would be State Senator Noah Robinson. Hello, Noah. Welcome back. Good to have you on, Senator.
Hi, Bill. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, talk me down off the ledge after all the mentally ill headlines we're reading about this. Jeff Golden wants net zero, which could destroy PERS. I mean, even the treasurer is saying, hey, you people are nuts about this. Then there's the Jeff Golden wildfire map. Is there a possibility that we'll actually get trounced? What are you thinking about that right now?
Well, it looks good because a lot of Democrats say it needs to be repealed. Golden agrees. We sort of have an arrangement on it. Of course, it is Salem. So it's highly likely to be repealed, but it's not guaranteed. So don't give up on lobbying to get this horrible bill repealed. And, of course, it's urgent because people are being hurt by it right now. They're worrying if they can stay in their property.
Now, you say that Senator Golden, of course, is working really hard to continue to take the kicker, too, in order to pay for wildfire. And I also read that there is some drama going on with this bill, which is going to give Pacific Power some protection from wildfire liability. Are you involved in that fight whatsoever? I'm just kind of curious.
I'm not involved in that fight. I don't think it's. One thing to remember, we have power lines going everywhere. They service customers all over the state. We have lightning strikes that start fires, and power lines are going to start some fires. So there is, I don't think they should necessarily be on the hook for billions just because they...
They have the deeper pocket of many, right?
That's exactly right. So I haven't looked exactly at that legislation, but it does bother me that, you know, lightning starts fires all over, and then Pacific Power is the one you can go after because they maybe started one of them, and they couldn't help it because their lines are servicing customers.
Yeah, and then they yell if the power line is de-energized because of the wildfire risk, right? It's like they can't win.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's arguments about whether they should have de-energized the line in particular circumstances or not, and that's always a judgment call, and sometimes they're going to get it wrong. So, again, it's difficult.
The one thing I was concerned about is that what I saw in that bill, maybe you could help us out next time we have a talk on this one, was that they wanted to increase Pacific Power Corp's rates, or Pacific Power's rates, rather, by 3%, and then this would go into a wildfire, like a kind of like an insurance fund of sorts. So,
I think that's a poor way to fund wildfire. I think the state needs to be looking at the best way. Well, first we have forest management problems, but then in the summer when it's hot and risks are high, we do need to look at the best technology possible for seeing these fires early and getting them out quickly. I think that's where we can be most effective. They always love to start these new programs, and really we need to protect against wildfire as efficiently as possible. And I think I just don't like that idea.
You know, in your section of the state legislature, what are you working on right now? What are some of the key issues that have been coming up in the hearings that you've been in?
Well, the biggest thing that's worrying me right now is, well, coming up, we just had 619 yesterday on the floor. We had that fight over whether we're going to have striking workers get paid for leave because of
In other words, employers are charged or taxed to pay for state unemployment. Right, they have to pay that. The worker doesn't pay it. The employer does, and then the state of Oregon wants to make it so that if you have a disagreement with your employer, they'll pay you to strike. That's in essence what they would do with this bill.
Yeah, and you realize what happened. The unions support particularly Democrat candidates and pay them a lot of money this time. And now this is a bill to support the unions. And it's not just, if you think about it, it's not just what they're going to be paid while they voluntarily left their jobs. It's the fact that it's going to make it a lot easier to strike and probably will lead to probably much higher concessions to the unions because they can get it more easily.
Heads the union wins and tails the employer lose, that kind of thing, right?
That's right. So there's a pro-union essentially payback for helping them in the elections. I mean, I can't tell you in every case, but there's definitely bias. And we had all the Republicans united against it, and actually two Democrats voted against it too, Golden and Solomon, which is nice.
But Golden voted against it? Really?
Yes, he did.
Oh my gosh! The stop clock is right occasionally. All right, all right. I'm glad. And Jeff, I would say that if you were here, I would say, wow, you actually made a good vote. All right.
Yes, he did.
But still, it ended up passing. So this is going to go on to the House then, and it will likely pass the House too, I would imagine, because the same people who pay off the Democrats in the Senate are paying off the Democrats in the House side, right?
Of course. So that's the expectation. Of course, with a one-vote margin, everyone can see that it's not the most popular bill over here. I hope that has some effect. We will see. The next fight coming up, of course, is that really bothers me is 1098, the bill where you cannot take bad books out of the libraries or it will become much harder. And this was really bad because the state of our educational system right now. And you want parents to be able to encourage their children to go to the school libraries and read as much as possible. And already parents are very concerned because of books that are found in libraries with was really bad material in them, that is very difficult to get out now.
And very age inappropriate in many cases. Very adult very adult themes and, graphic sex. Well, we know what State Representative Dwayne Junker did the other day when he read from that book, The Haters, which came from the North Valley High School library, and there it is. And they're gaveling him down because it's too dirty to be reading on the state Capitol floor, right? You're not supposed to do it. There are rules about it. But yet,
exactly.
But yet, taxpayers are forced to pay for this stuff. And the progs, of course, probably want this. Progressives are probably in love with this kind of material, I guess. Are they?
I guess. I mean, there's all sorts of excuses being given, but that material has no place. And it's the argument made by the people that promote this frequently is, oh, you don't have to read everything. You can be selective. But we're talking about school libraries. It's not a question of, I don't think it's appropriate in the school library even putting in the corner and say, hey, this is okay for older children. I mean, some of the stuff that I've seen, some of the sent it to our office and so forth, isn't really appropriate for anyone. But the children, you're talking about younger children, the parents aren't going to be in the library selecting the material for them. We want the children to be able to go to the library and know that anything they pick up will be acceptable, generally acceptable to the parents.
Now, I know what the left-wing folks will end up saying then is that, oh, you guys and women, you want to ban books. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. You know, we have adults make decisions for children all the time on certain things, and it's usually a matter of discernment and judgment. And some things we decide are appropriate for kids and other things we don't. And
that's right. When you get to be 18, you make your own selection.
Yeah. And by the way, if you are a parent and you want to have graphic sex scenes of haters and all the grooming materials, you are more than welcome. I'm sure you can buy it on Amazon and have it shipped to your kid if you want. But you don't have to force the taxpayers to do it. Now, this bill that you were talking about, though, would make it next to impossible for parents, or parents would not be allowed to challenge library materials any longer, period?
No, they'd still be able to challenge it. But what the bill does is it takes all the protected classes, and of course they're emphasizing that we're worried that people will target black authors. That's what Frederick was talking about.
Oh, that's...
And of course, I've never heard...
Nonsense. No, what they've done is that they might have targeted some material that was inappropriate, and maybe a black author authored some of it.
Well, that's exactly right, because I asked in committee for examples, and there was in oral testimony, only one book was mentioned. It was a book written by Toni Morrison, black woman.
Yeah.
So I got a copy, and I looked at it, and she's a Nobel Prize-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning black woman, wrote this book, and I started reading. I read through it, skimmed a little bit of it. There are things in the first 20 pages that are highly inappropriate for children. So if you object to that book, you're against this black woman author, when really your real objections are to the content. And this, of course, will be very difficult to sort out now if this bill passes. It's already tough enough. So you go on the material, but you're accused of it being for other reasons.
State Senator Noah Robinson with me. We appreciate you taking a few minutes here. Let me grab a quick call for you here. I think it's a call for you, Noah. Otherwise, we'll have to cut him loose. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Alan DeBoer.
Good morning, Alan. How are you, former senator?
Noah, thanks for all you're doing up there. Hey, the bill that talks about paying them unemployment, most union settlements give back pay or a big chunk of money. So it would actually be an incentive to strike because you'll make more.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's something, Noah, there's something going on that this happened maybe a year ago, and the Department of Unemployment's trying to get back. There's one group that did get their unemployment during their strike, and their contract paid them again. So they got double paid. I think the Department of Unemployment is trying to get it back, and there's no real way to do that. So the people actually made money. And the fact that Jeff Golden voted no on this, a lot of times, and Noah, you probably know this, that your party will say, well, this will help you in your next election, and we don't need your vote. So you vote no on this, and it'll pass anyway.
Alan, that's, I'm glad you reminded us of that tactic. It can be a political tactic used quite often, right? We'll protect you. We'll protect a favorite candidate here this way.
Yeah, and if Jeff really wanted to get rid of it, he would take leadership in his own caucus and tell them to vote no. It's a really bad bill. It's just a payoff to the union. And strikes have to have consequences. And I don't know on the Providence strike, I haven't looked at it, if they got paid for the time they were off.
I don't think they got, Senator, I don't know if you know about that either. I don't believe they got paid. There was some strike pay that came from the unions, and there was some back pay that came, but they only got 75% of their pay from the new contract. You know, they're getting it kind of retro pay raise, retroactive pay raise kind of there. But
exactly.
Some are telling me the Medford workers got hosed because they got tied in with all the other Providence deals. But former Senator, thank you so much. Good point. Thanks for bringing it up. Okay. You be well. 6:51, we're on with State Senator Noah Robinson. Did you have any reaction to what Senator DeBoer had to say there?
Well, he's right. That's a tactic that's used all the time. And, of course, I hesitate to say I don't like to, you know, assume motives. I'm happy Golden voted against it. If there's something else going on, I would not be aware of it. But he's definitely right. That tactic happens all the time in legislatures all over the country and in the U.S. Congress. So what can I say?
All right. Now, I wanted to touch on some bills that have been yanking my chain here. Naturally, House Bill 3075, which had a hearing this week, will likely get passed and then on to the Senate. Crushes the Second Amendment even worse than Measure 114, which was just ridiculously declared constitutional by a court not that long ago. And you also had the House Bill 3076, which would crush gun stores. We had the SB 916, which you ended up talking about. And then also the open primary bill. And we the people voted down open primary, and the legislature is bringing this up. This would essentially destroy the Republican Party in the legislature, would it not? Really?
It would be, I cannot say exactly what the effect would be, but it would be very, very harmful. I mean, that's a disaster. Everywhere it's been tried, it's been a disaster. And so we have many cases you wind up with two Democrats running against each other in the general.
Now, you could see in Josephine County, more conservative county, though, Jackson County to a lesser extent, you might possibly have two Republicans running, but yeah, it would be like a jungle primary everywhere. The problem that I have with this, though, is I'm not hearing any kind of support for walkouts from either the Senate or the House. And, you know, here it is, constitutional rights crushed, and they'll say, oh, yeah, you can sue again. We're out of money because, you know, everyone's been having to pay to fight Measure 114 up to this point. You have the jungle primary, which could kill statewide Republican possibilities, period, and just kill it. And I don't see any talk from the Senate or the State House to get together and deny quorum. What are you thinking about it? Are you hearing any talk about this whatsoever? Because as long as the Republicans are there with the Democrats, they're going to keep doing this, and nothing's going to stop here, Noah. What do you think?
Well, I have not heard much talk about that either. And I am concerned because on some of these bills, like the 3075 and 3076, mm-hmm. those should be walked out. I mean, there's a lot of legislation you shouldn't walk out, but when it gets that severe, you should walk out. And, of course, I would. I know there are others that would in the caucus. I haven't discussed it with them. I think what I'm worried about is that they're just we only need two that won't, and it won't work.
Well, I would say that Senator Daniel Bonham, he's the Senate Republican leader, right?
Yes, and okay. He walked out before. We know he's willing to do
it. He's willing to do that.
He can't even lose anything by it now.
Okay. Well, here is the point. The only reason that it hurt Republicans last time around after the walkout was that State Senator Tim Knope did not negotiate to have the walkout absences excused. And he kind of rolled over and he threw his colleagues under the bus, in my opinion. That's why Linthicum and your dad and all the other people were screwed over by this situation. Now, Christine Drazen in the House, Senator Bonham in the Senate, if you guys all get together and say, we walk on this stuff, and we're not coming back in till the worst of these bills are killed, and then we will also not come back in until our absences are excused. And so there's no Measure 113 issue about not being able to run for re-election again. We know that if that's the case. And if they don't let the Republicans back in and negotiate and kill these bills, there's no budget. There's no money for the schools. There's no money for the NGOs. It's the only real power Republicans have. Tell me if I'm wrong here, because just voting no And, you know, Emily McIntyre, God bless her, just saying, well, I want to be there and try to reach across the aisle. They don't care. Am I right or wrong?
You are right. And that is the only power we have. And that was the problem with last time. After that long lockout, the compromise at the end was poor. I mean, we just barely tweaked 2002, got a few concessions,
right.
Killed a few bills, right? And then they came back in. And I know many Republicans didn't want to come back in, didn't come back in until later. My dad stayed out, and you know, I think Bonham wasn't back at that time. So that is what they should do. Whether and you're absolutely correct, they should have demanded that the absences be excused. Now, whether the Democrats would ever concede to that, I don't know.
Well, they don't get a budget. They don't get money.
Yep. So I think that's what should be done, and what can I say? I agree with you.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay. And the thing is, I know it's hard, but this whole idea that the Republicans need to educate the people to not be stupid and think that their job, you know, and that's how they got stupid people or people that didn't think. I shouldn't say stupid. People who didn't think more deeply about the issue to say, well, I shouldn't get paid if I'm not showing up for my job. When it comes to the power of quorum, it's the only power that a party in the minority really wields. And the Democrats have done this in the past before, and the Democrats did it to good effect a number of years ago. I think it was 30, 40 years ago that the Democrats did this. And the Republicans need...
Sooner than that, actually. But yeah, I think in the early 2000s, they did 2001 or something.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Over the maps, which they... The district line maps.
And I know it's hard, and people will say, you're not doing your job. Protecting your constituents and stopping the worst abuse of a majority party drunk on its own power right now is doing their job. And
that, no, it is their job. And this argument is a very poor argument. And I know that many, during the last walkout 23, I know that many of the Republicans continued to go to committees. They were working. They just were denying quorum. They felt that that was the best way they could do their job. So the accusations were ridiculous. Everyone knew what was going on.
Well, the Republican Party also didn't put anything in the voters' pamphlet against Measure 113, as you recall, which just astounded me. And nobody else did, too. So maybe they thought... I've often thought that the whole purpose of 113 was to get rid of conservatives, such as your father. And then hopefully you in the future is what they would do. This is how we'll get them, because we'll have the mushy Republicans stay in, the ones that will reach across the aisle, the ones that will, work with the grift, you know. And well, I'll be here. I'll be a no vote, but at least I'll let you Democrats gang rape the state, you know.
Well, that's right. Of course, it didn't always work. They thought they had length of gun, and now we have Dianne Lentikum, so we're just right back there.
Yeah.
And of course, I ran for my dad's seat. There's plenty. I think the idea that your position is more important than what happens to the Oregon people is just ridiculous. You can always find someone good to replace you. But the idea was to knock out good people, and to knock out people like Thatcher, who can't run again either.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in a little more competitive district. They figure she could get reelected. They have a better chance. So this is just gamesmanship, and it's very wrong. The quorum requirement was put there to protect the minority. That's why it was put there. Other states have, you know, they have little filibusters and things you can do. It's the one thing the minority has. Now, you can't walk out on every single bill you don't like.
No.
Obviously, that would be irresponsible. But it allows you, in extreme cases, to say, hey, this one crosses the line. We're going to deny quorum until this is reconsidered.
Because when you look at business, when you look at some of these bills that would crush businesses, not just gun bills, close the gun stores, strip people of their rights, turn people into criminals for what they have. This is serious stuff. This is not little stuff that the legislature is trying to do with some of these bills. And yeah, also paying public employee unions to strike against their people. You know, it's like, wow.
That's
just incredible.
Right. And when I was talking against this on the floor yesterday, I was pointing out that we have a terrible problem with our public school system in terms of not educating children. The children are getting shortchanged, and we're worrying about what the teachers and administrators will be paid instead. Well, I'd like the teachers to be well paid, But I'm more interested in trying to figure out what's going on in those schools and correcting it than worrying about paying everybody involved who is doing a poor job overall. It just doesn't work. It's just not working.
Well, if you could just pass along at least my thoughts, and maybe other people can do this too, to the caucus and maybe even reach across to your friends in the House. If you don't stop this process, if you don't kill the worst of these bills through quorum denial and then negotiation, the Republican Party deserves to die because it is chosen not to be a true opposition party. And it maybe those are my thoughts. If you could pass that along to the folks, okay?
I will definitely do that. I can take that message to them and let them know what you think.
All right.
I hate to say I agree. I think the walkout needs to be done if these bills get over here. Well, it should happen in the House now, assuming they take them to the floor, which I think one of them's out of committee.
Yeah, so, I know. Dangerous stuff. These are not just bad bills, dangerous bills in many cases. State Senator Noah Robinson, we appreciate your spine and your logic and good fellowship. I mean, it's not that you dislike people. You're just trying to do the right thing there. And I guess...
Well, look, there's often the argument is made that we have to reach across the aisle. We have to be friendly with everybody. Remember that politicians are by nature friendly. I get along with everybody. There's no problem. But I never buckle on a vote just because I like someone. It's just, you just don't. You have to go entirely on principle and logic.
Very good. Thank you, State Senator. We'll have you back. Be well. Okay. See you
then.
A couple minutes after 7, this is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford. KBXG, Grants Pass.